Hey, welcome for those of you that are watching on Facebook Live, Mountain View Chapel. Everybody give them a warm Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Whoa, that was the best ever. That was great. Okay, so it's my privilege to introduce you, Pastor Chris, this morning. He's going to be sharing the lesson. He's going to be sharing the message. And man, just super fun to walk life with you and your wife and to have you guys here. So preach the word, man.
All right, man. Hey, that sounds good. Well, thank you for having me. If you want to go in your copy of Scripture or your electronic device to Joshua chapter 5, we're going to continue to just walk through that a little bit here this week. But what Tim was sharing before we went live just a couple minutes ago, that is exactly kind of where we're going to be diving in for the next couple weeks, and even kind of our emphasis for the Christmas Eve service is just this. I want us to be able to just kind of think on this phrase right now. The phrase that we're going to be kind of carving out some time to be able to just walk through and digest together is this: normal surroundings, yet supernatural details. Normal surroundings, yet supernatural details. And so we're going to spend time looking at and trying to understand and unpack that a little bit here in Joshua chapter 5. But at Christmas Eve service, we're going to be kind of spending time focusing on that with just the Christmas story, the birth of Christ, and trying to look at it with new and fresh eyes to be able to see that, hey, while that was kind of an ancient context to us, that was normal for them. And so there's beauty to be found. There is a lot to be found in pursuing Christ when we don't try to manufacture these kind of spiritual moments, but when we just kind of look for God in the normal moments, in the normal kind of, you know, duties, the normal places, the normal people, normal things that we go through. God is trying to show up and get our attention in big ways. And so that's what we're going to be kind of looking through and kind of unpacking a little bit over the next couple weeks. So let me take a minute and pray, and then we'll dive into Joshua chapter 5. So God, we thank you for this opportunity that we get. Thank you for the privilege that we get to be able to have your word. We take it for granted. There's people here on earth that don't even have the Bible translated into their language. There's people here, even in our own nation, who don't even have a copy of your word. And yet we get to sit here during this time and be able to sit under your teaching, your divine word speaking to us. And I pray that it would be just that. I pray that you would use me, that you would speak through me, that it wouldn't be me communicating here, but it would be you communicating to us this morning, and that you would help us to be able to not just view our lives as just the normal, the mundane, the average, but to be able to see the things that we experience and do and the conversations we have, the tasks that we do, to be able to see you showing up in the midst of them. So God, help us to be able to see that. Help us to be able to view Scripture in new ways and to be able to view our lives in new ways this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so hey, real quick, just in case you weren't here over the last couple weeks, or just if you're like me and you forget things, I want to just get us up to speed before we dive into Joshua chapter 5. We're going to be reading starting in verse 13, so if you are really focused and you like to be on top of things, you can find your way there. But before we get there, what's going on here in the context is Moses has died, all right, and now Joshua is now the new leader. He's the new leader of Israel. All right, and as we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, the Israelites have been challenged. Are they going to obey God? Are they going to step out? And are they going to take the land? Are they going to go into the promised land? Or are they going to disobey and stay in their comfort? Right. And so now here in Joshua, the people of God, they're obeying. They're following God. They want to join God in this mission to capture and to take hold of this land that God has given them. So now if you go and you read later on this afternoon or this week, Joshua chapter 3 and 4, you see they come up to this river. And it's just like when Israel was coming out of Egypt. They came up to a river. And what happened? What did God do through Moses to that river, the Red Sea? What did he do? He parted it, right? So this miracle, God used Moses to be able to split the sea so that Israel could go across, and they got around safe, right? And so now here, Joshua, the next leader, they come up to a body of water. And they're like, well, heck, how are we going to get across this? And so what you can see is that God instructs them, hey, man, step out into the water and just see me part it. And so they take the Ark of the Covenant into the water, and God dries up the water, and they go across and free, safe, and now they're in the land. All right? And the crazy thing is that God instructs them immediately to do two different things here when they're in the Promised Land. And the first thing they do is that he tells them to grab stones from the middle of the river where it was dry and set them up on the dry land so that you can have a statue of sorts so that you would always remember what God did to dry up the water, that miracle, so that you would never overlook God's miracles in your life. Man, how much do we need that? That's just for free. That's not the sermon, but that's just for free, right? All right, but how much do we need to just look back and remember God's powerful and mighty work on our lives, right? And so that's why he instructs them to set up this tower so that they would remember. They could always teach their kids, look, hey, you see that stone there? You see that body of water there? There was a day where God dried it up so we could walk across that. And they could teach the faithfulness of God. But then in chapter 4 and 5, we see that God instructs the nation to be able to set themselves apart, this holy preparation, all right? And we're going to spend a lot of time because I kind of want us to get to where I feel like God is leading us to. But if you spend some time reading it, you might kind of scratch your head and be like, man, this doesn't make sense. Why would God have them do this holy preparation once they've already crossed the river and now the river is closed? They're in the land and they can't retreat. And now one of the first things that God has them do is to circumcise every single male. All right, so like, you can be weird or you could just embrace the spiritual side of this thing, okay? Or both, whatever you want to do, all right? But just think about this. God is trying to instruct, hey, look, this doesn't make any kind of human sense because now your natural defense, your army, you're now recovering from surgery. And so now they are in the land, they can't retreat, they're stuck there, and they are now in a position where they are completely dependent upon God's protection and provision for them. That's a scary place to be. And then after they've recovered from that, then he instructs them to celebrate the Passover. And the Passover feast is a beautiful feast. It's supposed to be a time in which they're remembering, they're looking back at how God has delivered them from Egypt, but also at the same time looking forward to how God is going to bring the Messiah. And so they're celebrating, they're worshiping God in their own land. And then the beautiful thing you can see after they've celebrated, then the manna ceases. And now they don't need the bread from God every single day. Now they get to enjoy the fruit of the land that he's been promising them. And so there's this beautiful thing. And so now Israel is all worshiped up. They're all prepared. They're all ready to be able to go and to receive this land that God has given them. But we see that their human leader, Joshua, I don't know that he's been embracing it. Maybe he has, but God's like, hey, Joshua, you need a moment with me. You need to spend some time with me because the nation's ready, but you're not. And so Joshua now, what we're going to see, I think that he's out doing like this prayer walk. And so we're going to read verses 13 through 15. But I think that Joshua's mind is running. He's focusing on everything that he's just experienced, but now it's kind of on his human shoulders to now try to lead this nation to go. And they're facing a big battle ahead. And he doesn't know how that's going to happen. But then he's got tons of battles ahead after that. And so I could just think how I would be feeling in that situation. I would be feeling, hey, worship isn't necessarily a priority. And is that right? No, right? We know that's not right. But it's my human tendency. And I believe that it was Joshua's human tendency to just be like, hey, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? Look at all these battles that we need to face. Look at all these responsibilities that I have. Look at all these things that I'm feeling. Man, are we going to get ambushed? And all these things that he's reeling through in his mind. And yet God is going to show up and get him to submit himself and to surrender himself to God. And so that's where I want us to go. So we're going to read just these couple of verses together and then allow just God to speak to our hearts. So Joshua 5, verse 13. It says, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. So we're going to stop there, and you can keep reading. I invite you to keep reading. But it's in that context that now Joshua has had this meeting with God, that now God instructs him about what he's supposed to do to take over Jericho. So it's after this moment of worship, this time with God, that then God speaks up and shows him how he's supposed to take care of this battle. But the beautiful thing, what I want us to be able to see here, I mean, there's just so much going on here. I'm trying to not have ADD here, Tim. All right. But, yeah. All right. He can follow. All right. But what's going on here is, like, if you read the Bible, if you've read the Bible at all before, when we read this passage, there should be, like, little radars going off in your mind, because it should be like, man, I've heard something like this before. I've heard something like this before, right? And so just as we saw Moses part the Red Sea, or, you know, God part the Red Sea for Moses, we just saw that with Joshua, right? Well, before Moses became the leader of Israel, did he have an experience in the wilderness with God? He approached this burning bush, and who was in the bush? God. God was in this bush, and he said, "Hey, Moses, come, take your sandals off, because the place where you're standing is holy ground." And what do we just see here? This same thing. It doesn't say that there's this burning bush. It actually says there's this man. So I believe that God showed up. That God was walking on earth here. And it wasn't like this cute little fluffy, you know, really white skinned, cute red lips Jesus here. All right? I mean, he's got his sword out in his hand. And I don't know about you, but if I'm like Joshua and I'm walking and I'm kind of like trying to figure out, all right, what am I supposed to do? And I'm praying, like, God, give me wisdom about how we're supposed to proceed. And I see a guy with a sword out just looking at me. I'm not going to walk up to him. I mean, I don't know, call me a sis or what, but I like to live. All right. But he walks up to him, and what does he say? He says, "Hey man, are you on my team, or are we about to start fighting right now?" Right? That's essentially what he says. And what I love is God's response is what? No. Wait, are you on my team, or are you not on my team? No. Right? That's his answer. And what he's saying by saying no, he's like, dude, you have the wrong question. I'm not on your team, Joshua. I'm the captain of the team. And you're lucky enough to ride the bench. And he says, man, you're not even going to be fighting this war. I'm the one that's commanding these battles that are going before you, and you're supposed to submit yourself and let me move. All right? And so this is craziness. And so what does Joshua do? What is Joshua's response? He bows to the ground and worships. This is another reason why I believe that this is an appearance of God, because you don't see men worshiping angels. You don't see that. We're not supposed to worship angels. We worship God. We worship Jesus Christ. And so he bows before him, and he says, "What do you have to say to your servant?" There's just so much beauty here. And one of the things that I think that it's huge for us, because I think that what Tim said to get us started is kind of where I think that we need to kind of spend some time here, is because I don't know about you, but I'm thinking about all the battles and all the things, all the obstacles, all the worries, all the anxieties that are going on in my life right now, and it's hard for me to see God. It's not my natural inclination for me to be able to just keep God at the forefront of my mind at every single moment of the day. And I don't think I'm alone with that. All right, but what I love with this is, look at how great of a God that we have. Because Joshua, he knew exactly what Joshua needed to hear to be able to be instructed and to be able to bow before him and submit to God. God knew that Joshua needed to have these moments just like Moses had in order for him to have confidence. Right? If I'm sure that Joshua heard Moses talk about the burning bush moment tons of times. Can you just imagine that? And can you imagine being the next person, just be like, man, when am I going to have an experience like that with God? When am I going to have this experience? Am I really the next leader? Am I really the one? And I can see him questioning. And so this is his moment there where God shows up before him and he says, man, take off your sandals because the place where you're standing is holy. And what I want us to be able to see is that this isn't like this moment where he had the priests out there playing this worship song and he had the chorus on repeat like 9 times and he's praying and he spent so much time, you know, reading God's word and he's having this awesome Jesus moment and then all of a sudden the angel shows up. I mean, this is his normal day-to-day reality. He is supposed to just be taking care of the army of Israel, right? So he's out. He's doing his duties. He's walking around. He's like, God, I need you to move. He's on a prayer walk. He's just trying to see, to size up, to plan. And he's got all these worries and all these anxieties and all these fears. And he's thinking about all the things that he's not good enough. And he's thinking about all these things. And yet, how is it that we see these supernatural details? God shows up in this normal moment in a profound way. And what I want us to be able to see is that the angel of the army of the Lord, he doesn't just say, hey man, go think about how, you know, you need to get your life right before you come to me. Go think about, you know, how you need to be a better man for your wife before you can come spend time with me. He doesn't say, hey man, go do all these things. Go clean yourself up before you can come to me. What does he say? He says, take off your sandals now and worship. And so, man, how many of us do we need to embrace this truth here? And what I want us to be able to see is that, hey, so many of us, and myself included, we feel the promptings of God. Man, Adam shared his heart out here this morning, and it's so true for me and my reality, and I think for a lot of you and your reality. Man, you feel the prompting of God. You feel this specific thing, this sin pattern that you have in your life that you know you're supposed to forsake. You know you're supposed to confess to somebody. You know you're supposed to get healing, but you just kind of push it away because it's like, oh, no, maybe not. You know that, man, hey, you're supposed to maybe step it up with your holy habits. You know you're supposed to, man, get more diligent with spending time in the Word and developing a prayer life. And yet you're just like, man, how do I even start? And so we just kind of push it away. Man, how many of us we feel all the ways that we know we're not measuring up. Maybe this is just me, but I feel that. I think about all these ways that I'm just not measuring up, and I feel God's prompting and this tapping on my shoulder, this bringing things to my mind, and yet what do? More often than not, I walk away from those things. But I want us to see, what I want us to do, Mountain View, is for us to be able to see that, man, hey, you want to see God show up in your life? It's in those normal moments. It's in those moments when, hey, you're at work, and you're sitting there, and you feel a prompting to pray for somebody. You feel a prompting to be able to call somebody. It's in those moments where you're like, hey, get in the Word. And you open up God's Word. You obey that prompting, and it's the exact right verse that you need to find comfort. Or you feel a prompting to be able to turn on the radio or, you know, put on whatever music you like, and it's this song that just ministers to your soul at the exact right moment. And what I want us to be able to see is that, hey, look, we don't need to manufacture and create these supernatural experiences because God is trying to show up in our lives in every single moment, more often than not in these normal moments in life. And so what I want us to do, what I want to try to inspire each one of us to do, and myself included, is to be able to join God in those normal moments. And it's not like you're going to bow down and have this like 5-hour session like Joshua may have had here. You know, this is a very real instance, but this is a principle here that we need to learn, is that, hey, look, we can respond to God, meet with God when he shows up. Because I love this last phrase here. The last phrase in this, in verse 15. Joshua had a opportunity here. The last phrase says, and Joshua did so. So again, he was faced with it. Is he going to obey? Or is he going to push away this prompting? Is he going to push away this invitation of God to come and to be comforted? And so what I want us to be able to understand is that Joshua's next step of obedience wasn't for him to go and do something. Your next step of obedience isn't necessarily for you to go and to do something. Maybe your next call for obedience is for you to stop and be. To just stop and be with the presence of God. You see, we need to understand that through this story, through this example in Scripture, is that God is so much more concerned with our holiness than he is with our happiness. We need to understand and embrace this, is that sometimes those things that we feel that we've been running away from God, we feel God's tapping in our life, we run away from those things because it doesn't feel good for us to obey in that. But we need to understand this truth, is that God is so much more concerned with our holiness than he is with our happiness here. And so he understands far greater than Joshua ever even understands about all the things that he's about to face. He understands far better, and he knows all the things that are racing through Joshua's mind here. And yet he says, hey, Joshua, you're not even going to be fighting these things. Stop. Bow before me. Worship me and embrace my strength. Embrace my strength. Let me work. And so the thing that I want us to be able to see here, it's this very simple truth, but it's very hard for us to be able to live this out, is that, man, I think that a lot of us, we have a lot of ways that we want to see God show up in our lives. I think that a lot of us, man, we've been craving these supernatural kind of experiences to just see, like, man, to be delivered from your sin pattern, or to be able to have somebody be healed from a sickness, or to be able to feel like God has actually given you something to go after and do for the kingdom, to be able to step up, to have boldness, to be able to preach to your lost coworkers or friends. And we so want these supernatural experiences, yet we're missing them in the everyday normalcy of life. And so, man, I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to be able to experience the touch from God Almighty. I mean, just imagine what would happen in your life, in my life, in our life as Mountain View Chapel, if every single one of us would be able to obey and we would just bow before the Messiah. And stop worrying in all the moments. Stop worrying about all the things that we need to accomplish and be able to submit those things to God. I mean, this is something that I'm still trying to struggle to learn. But God is a lot more powerful than I am. I think a lot of us, we think that our success in these spiritual fights are based off of how good we are, how much strength we can muster up. Dude, I'm not God. And sorry to bust your bubble, you may think that you are. You might be treating yourself like you are God, but you're not God. And so there are things that God desires to fight for you on your behalf, but you need to submit to him. And so, man, would you join with me in trying to go after, to yield ourselves to the power of God, to be able to understand and submit ourselves to the anointing of God? And that can't happen unless we spend time with him. The most important thing that we can do, the best thing that you can do for yourself, the best thing that you can do for your family, the best thing that we can do for our community, is to be able to answer this call of God and just bow before him, spend time with him. And I know that's kind of freaky, and you know, some of you might be looking at me like I got five heads or something like that. But look, listen, The beautiful thing is that it looks different for every single one of us. Man, I can't tell you what God needs to tell you. There are only moments that Joshua wouldn't believe. If I was alive during this time, and I was to show up and tell Joshua how he was going to take over Jericho, he would probably just kill me. You're telling me I'm going to walk around the city one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day walk around seven times, and then we're just going to scream, and Tim's going to scream, and then the walls are going to fall down? But that is exactly what happens here. And Joshua is able to hear that instruction as he's spending time with God. And so, man, what I want to be able to challenge you before, man, hey, maybe this is your moment. Maybe this is the moment where you are getting face-to-face with God. He is coming, and he is prompting on your heart right now, and he is saying, man, you have been trying so hard. Man, take off your shoes. Stop running. Take off your shoes and worship me. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know necessarily all that you're going through, but I want to challenge you, man, stop running from God. There is strength to be received when we submit ourselves to God. There are battles to be won when we submit ourselves to God. There is victory in Christ. And you know how I know that? Because just like while we may not have this experience here like Joshua, this time of year is the experience that we have, the reminder that Christ came to us. Christ came to us. And guess what? You're looking at me like, yeah, Chris, good luck. I don't think that there's any kind of battles going to be being fought. I don't think that God's going to fight battles for me. Well, guess what? Why do we worship Christ? Why do we spend time to be able to set apart the fact that he came to us? It's because he came to fight battles for us. He fought sin and death for us. I mean, those are the greatest things that we have to face here. And Christ is our victory. And so for you and me today, man, I want to challenge you. Stop running from God. You've been walking with God for a while. Maybe you don't have the best relationship with him. Man, I want to challenge you, man, submit to him. Spend some time before him and just ask him, hey, God, what would you have to say to your servant? And just do it. Do it. But then maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I don't know if I necessarily... if I believe in this, I don't know if I have a relationship with God today. Man, I want to invite you. Man, stop running from God. Stop running from him. He's been trying to get your attention. Man, submit yourself before him and understand that the greatest fight, the greatest need that you have in your soul is the salvation that you have from your sin. And Christ pushed that back. He defeated it, and he reigns victorious. So Mountain View, and I want to encourage you. May we walk into whatever we have next in a way that's characterized by worship. Because we're only going to see people saved. We're only going to see this gospel advancing. We're only going to see victory in our own lives as we submit to the Lord. So let's do this. Let's go after it. And if you're carrying something today, man, as Adam shared in his testimony, man, don't run from this. This might be your moment. Grab somebody that you trust. Come talk to Tim or I before you leave. And we would love to pray with you and pray for you because we genuinely believe that things, that these spiritual battles are only fought with spiritual weapons, man. So we need to be praying. We need to be worshiping. So let's worship the King. Let's bow before him as he calls us to stand before him and worship him. So let me pray. So Father God, I thank you for who you are. God, I'm thankful for the fact that you show up in everyday, normal moments. It's not necessarily manufactured. It's not necessarily in these moments that we so crave in our mind. But you're trying to show up and be a part of everything that we do. And I'm reminded of a text I got yesterday that you're inviting us to be able to experience your glory in everything we do, whether we eat or whether we drink. We're to do it all in your name for your glory. So, Father God, would we learn how to be able to take the normal things like eating and drinking and be able to do them in a way that is worshipful and that is listening to you? So, Lord, we love you. We submit ourselves before you. In your name we pray. Amen.